It's great to be here. It's great to have a testimony to the saving grace of God. That's what really a testimony is all about. It's not what I have done in any shape or fashion. It's all about what God has done for me. As you know, I was born and bred in the village of Bersheen. Lived there most of my days. I moved to Hochul after I was married for 7 years. But the old pull of the old homestead came again, and we went back there. We've been there ever since. I was born into a Christian home where, it's a testimony like many of you maybe here tonight, where I don't even remember a time probably whenever I didn't know I needed to be saved. I was taken to every meeting that was going back in the day. I was taken to gospel missions in various places. So I really knew from the earliest of ages that I was a sinner and I needed to be born again. I needed to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. And many of the places, my father took me to around many mission halls and places like that, but there was one mission that he took me to that was to change my life, and that was a mission that took place in Ballymena Town Hall in 1975. Quite a long time ago, I was only 9 years of age, so you'll very quickly work out how young I am. But my father took me along to that gospel mission, and friends, that was a time when God's visit at Ballymena. It was a time when the Spirit of God came down into that town, 1975. And as a boy of nine, my dad took me along there, and usually on a Sunday afternoon. It was on every night as well during the week. But they held the meetings on a Sunday afternoon, and I was taken along on a Sunday afternoon to this gospel mission. We went up into the gallery. That was the sort of the caveat. We'll sit in the gallery. And the place was packed. It was absolutely bursting at the seams. And the gallery was full. We just about got a seat every Sunday afternoon when we went in. And the singing, there was something about that meeting. The singing was tremendous. There was something different. I'd been in many meetings as a young person, but I never had witnessed or experienced anything like it in my life. There was something different about the singing. And then there was something really different about the preaching of the word. It seemed to come with power in a way that I had never encountered before. And I came with power, friends, because God was there. God was in the midst of those gatherings. And as I sat there as a nine-year-old boy, there started to be a battle going on in my life. I knew I was a sinner, but God was laying his hand upon me there in those meetings. And there was a battle going on as the gospel was preached, and especially at the end of each of those services, because at the end of those meetings, there was an appeal given for people to come and put their trust in Christ. And you know, friends, you could tell that God was at work, because when those appeals came, there was men, there was women, there was older folk, there was young folk getting up out of their seats, and they were going to the inquiry room. That was incredible what God was doing. But while all that was happening, there was a battle raging in this young nine-year-old's heart, because I knew I needed to be saved. I knew I should be getting out of my seat and going down and putting my trust in the Lord. But you know, I left that particular Sunday afternoon and went home with my dad, and I never said anything, but boy, the word and what that meeting really impacted my life. And of course, my dad being my dad, we were back there the next Sunday, so we went to church in the morning, came home, had our dinner, and he says, right, we're going. And as I get into the back seat of the wee Volkswagen Beetle, I began to tremble. I began to shake. Because you see, God was at work in my life, and God was by his Spirit doing something. I knew what was coming. I knew the battle that was going to be. And again, we were up into the gallery there in Ballymena Town Hall. And again, place was packed to the rafters. People from all walks of life there. Again, the singing, and again, the sense of the presence of God was truly remarkable. Truly remarkable. And again, the preaching of the word really seared my heart. And again, when the appeal came, that conviction of sin, that battle within me was raging. I wonder, do you know anything about that tonight? Maybe in this meeting tonight, there's a battle raging in your life. You know you need to be saved, and yet you have done nothing about it. But you know, that particular Sunday, I could resist it no longer. I sensed that I needed to get right with God. And you think, you know, you may think, well, what does a nine-year-old boy have to be worried about? What does a nine-year-old boy, what has he done in his life that would see himself as a great sinner in need of salvation. Well, you know, Psalm 51 says this. It says, "Behold," David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Friends, we're not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners. David says, "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You see, we all have this thing called sin, this condition. Sin is a condition. And it's a condition that affects each and every one of us. If we are all conceived in sin, we all have this condition. And you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's the reality of it. Why does people die? People die because we are all sinful creatures. And the Bible is the only Bible, is the only book in this whole world that gives us the true diagnosis. You'll never see sin on a death certificate, will you? You'll never see a cause of death. He was a sinner. But the fact of the matter is, that is the cause of all of our death. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, that Sunday afternoon I yielded to the sense of my need of Christ. And the tears started to flood my eyes. And my dad, we had separated that particular Sunday. And as I got up to get out of my seat, my dad, he got me and we left. And he came home, and in our living room, he pointed me to the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. And what a sense of relief it was to know that my sins were forgiven. You know, there's nothing like it, men and women, to know the joy of sins forgiven and to have peace with God. You know, this world is looking for peace tonight, but it's looking in all the wrong places. You'll not find it in any peace process. You'll not find it in Stormont. You'll not find it in Westminster. You'll not find it in the White House. You'll find it at the foot of the old rugged cross. That's where you'll find it. You'll find it there in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your own and personal Saviour. You know, the psalmist said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles." This poor man cried. He humbled himself, you see. And that's what you've got to do when you come to Jesus Christ. You've got to humble yourself and put your trust in Him. And that's what I did that Sunday afternoon there in my own living room. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. You know, at 9 years of age, things went on well for a while. I was reading my Bible and I was doing Bible readings, and things seemed to go well. But you know, you get into your teenage years, don't you? And you start to mix with certain company and you start to do things that you know are not right. And you know, friends, sadly and tragically, for a number of years, from my teenage years into my 20s, I really had no time for God. It's as though I knew the gospel, I knew the commitment I had made to Christ. But yet, friends, I wandered into that far country just like the prodigal did. I strayed away from the Father's house, and I indulged in the things of the world for long and many a day. But you know, although I had went far from God, God wasn't far from me, because He only let me go so far. At the age of 25, I was married. My wife was a very young bride, and I married Donna, and we now have two kids. Well, they're grown up kids now, but the Lord brought her into my life. I was working in Ballymena in an engineering company, and he brought my wife into that factory, and I met her, and her eyes crossed one another, and well, as they say, the rest is history. But we got married. But a year and a half after we were married, her father was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And you know, that shook me to the core, because here was a man who wasn't saved, as far as I was aware. My wife that I had married wasn't saved. They were church people, but they knew nothing of God's redeeming grace. And you know, as I watched that man fade away and fade away, it was like a gospel message being preached to my heart. And deep down, I knew that that man needed to be saved. And I just was hoping that somebody would have a word with him in his hospital bed and point him to the Lord, because I knew myself that I wasn't right with God. I knew I had run away from the Lord. And you know, after a couple of years after we were married, Donna became pregnant, and when she was 3 months pregnant, her father died, and they never saw my son or my daughter. But we met a man 6 months after he died, and he told us, he was a believer who had been a friend of her father's, and he told us that her father had told him that he had put his trust in the Lord, and what great comfort that was. But you know, life just went on. He was busy with work. There was plenty of bills to pay. The interest rates weren't 5%. Everybody's moaning about the interest rates were 15%. And things were tight in every shape and fashion. But God provided, even in the midst of my disobedience and my going away from him. And you know, there were Christians in the factory. My dad worked there as well. But I got friendly with this man who was a believer. And you know, there was a turning point in my where God started to intervene again in my life. And that turning point was through this man, because he gave me a book one day, very interesting book. And it was a book on prophecies, biblical prophecies that had been fulfilled in the Bible. And it really majored around a prophecy regarding the ancient city of Babylon. See, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that with a prophecy made that Babylon would be rebuilt one day, but nobody would inhabit it. It would be a city with no inhabitants. And you know, Saddam Hussein actually has rebuilt that city. He built it brick by brick, and many of those bricks he has stamped into those bricks his little motif, because he believed that he was the modern day Nebuchadnezzar. And Saddam Hussein rebuilt the ancient city of Babylon, and they have pageants in it, but nobody lives in it. My brother-in-law actually has been in it, because he used to work in Iraq. And you know, I was gripped by this book. I couldn't put this book down. I was reading it at every possible opportunity. But I was reading it one night at tea break. It was just after tea break and work, and we worked with computerized machine tools, and they were working away, and I was reading this book. And all of a sudden, I was confronted by what this book had to say, because it said this. It says, Jesus is coming back. He's going to come with power, and he's going to come with great glory. And it's as though I could see the Lord coming, just standing there in that workshop, the noise of the machinery all around me. It's as though I could see the Lord coming, and I wasn't ready. And friends, I want to tell you, that shook me to my very core. And it shook me to the point where I just put the book down. It was a November night, I remember it well, and I went out the back into the car park. And again, I cried unto the Lord. And the Lord changed my life. He touched me again, and the Lord forgave me. I repented and told the Lord I was sorry for turning away from him, for turning my back on him. Remember, I got home that night, and I came in through the back door, and my wife was in the kitchen, and she looked at me, and she said, "What's happened?" You see, friends, she could see there was something different. She could see that there was something that happened in my life, and I began to tell her, and I began to share what God had done in my life. And a number of months after that, you know, I had the joy of seeing my wife come to the Lord, and I thank God that he drew me back to himself when he did, because my children were very young. My oldest son was 4 years of age. My daughter was only two. But the Lord saved me at a time where the gospel can begin to impact their lives. And I thank God here tonight for that. It hasn't been easy going on with the Lord, but it is a wonderful thing. I have seen how the Lord has led me through these past probably 27, 28 years. The Lord has been so faithful. There's been difficult times. There's been really dark times. Times when health has failed. Times when my employment has disappeared. But God has shown himself wonderful, wonderfully faithful. You know, and in that factory, we started a wee prayer fellowship. And we met once a month to pray for the men in that factory. And it's a wonderful thing when believers get to pray, because we saw many men on that factory floor coming to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thrill that was. We started a wee testimony team. We were going around wee mission halls giving testimony, and somebody would have shared a wee simple word from the scriptures, you know, and it was tremendous, tremendous encouragement. And out of that group, there was men who are now in the mission field in Southern Ireland. There's that man who gave that book to me. He actually has a mission organization going into the Philippines. 250,000 Gospels of John into the Philippine Islands last year alone. One man, insignificant man. Isn't that tremendous? It's amazing what God has done through our lives. You know, it's just marvellous. But you know, friends, Christian life is not easy. We're called to take up our cross and to follow Christ. But the change in the life must be tangible. When you come to Christ, there's such a change. A love for God, a love for His Word. It's okay to make a profession, but it's another thing to have a possession. Do you possess Christ tonight? Do you know Him? Do you know Him as your own and personal Saviour here in this meeting tonight? Just as I finish, there's a couple of verses that I want to leave with you, and they're found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, you'll know them well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I want to finish just with a true story about a man that I used to work with. His name was John, and I knew him for many, many years. He was a man who was involved in various sports of one another. He was involved in playing football and golf, and he loved to organise all manners of events. But you know, he suffered a major heart attack and was out of work for many months. And during that time out of work, his minister went to see him and sat down with him and explained to him the gospel, told him that he was a sinner, told him that Christ died upon the cross and shed His precious blood for him, that if he come and put his trust in Him, he could be saved and know that it was well with his soul. And time after time, he would have had those discussions with him and his need to be saved. Eventually, after many months, John went back to work and everything was fine, and he slipped into the ways that he always done. Never made no profession of faith. But John was a great Rangers fan. Loved to go to Ibrox and see the Rangers play there. He went over for weekends every now and again. And so John again headed off to Glasgow this particular weekend to see Rangers. I'm not sure who they were playing, but he had a desire to go that particular weekend. And he went over in the Saturday night. I think the Rangers were playing on the Sunday. They went to bed in his guest house on the Saturday night, never to awaken out of his bed. John died in a guest house bed in Glasgow. And you know, at his funeral service, it was very poignant, because standing at that open graveside as they lowered that coffin in, the minister opened up the Bible and they started to speak about John. And he simply said this, and I've never ever forgot it. He says, John knew that he needed to be saved. John knew that he needed to be saved. And friends, God has brought me here tonight. I don't know why, but I do know, because there's a message for somebody in this meeting tonight. You can't leave this meeting tonight knowing that you don't need to be saved, because I'm telling you from this platform, you need to be saved. And we stood at that open graveside. I want to tell you something, friends. There's no more hopeless, no more tragic a place to stand at an open grave where there's no testimony to the saving grace of God. And I implore you tonight to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. To put your trust in the one who bled and died upon Calvary's hill. To rest in that work that is finished. The work is finished. And tonight the invitation is to come. Come and put your trust in Him. The work is done. Simply put your trust in Him and leave that wonderful testimony to the saving grace of God in your life. He's a wonderful God. You know, friends, the wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless these few words to all of our hearts here this evening.